Et Naim, Nikki Yasam Hilo, Nikki Machuptamaidu. Hello, everyone. My name is Hilo, and I'm Machuptamaidu. We acknowledge and are mindful that Chico State stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, the Machupta, and we recognize their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that have sustained the Machupta people for centuries and continue to do so today.
Teresa, we are recording.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of our podcast, First Generation, One of Many. Excited for our resource to share with you all today. But before we get started, we are First Generation, One of Many. Our mission is to create an archive of discussions with and about first generation student experiences in and out of the classroom. We hope to continue raising awareness and understanding, provide voice for students and alum, as well as present resources for faculty, staff, and students working for and collaborating with our first generation students. Awesome. So I definitely don't do this podcast with just me, myself, and I. So let's all welcome Joshua Whittinghill, my lovely co-host. Hey, Josh.
Oh, hi, Teresa. That was very nice. Thank you. I'm glad you find me lovely, at least.
The best adjective.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Hey, thank you.
The That's only great. One. No,
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I have to say, I really was feeling the effects and impacts of working remotely because we haven't recorded for at least 3 or 4 weeks. We've had this hiatus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a bummer in that sense, but it is wonderful to be back in the chair again, headphones on, recording rolling. We have our guest today. So I'm really excited. And so with tradition, we have a couple of quotes that kind of connect to our topic. Today, we're going to be talking with Mr. Larry Langwell from Veterans Affairs Office at Chico State. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Josh. Hi, Teresa.
Yeah, thanks for being with
Hello.
Us. And so as we were talking beforehand, I shared the quotes with you. And when I found them, they really kind of encapsulate some of the things I've learned over the years in working with Veterans Affairs and veterans individually and some of the different organizations or groups that I've been able to be part of what sort of veterans share they've learned and they feel they got from being a part of the military. So the first quote comes from Eleanor Roosevelt, and she says, "Freedom makes a huge requirement of every human being. With freedom comes responsibility." I know that's definitely a message that I've learned from talking with veterans, and the veterans range when I get to meet them right on campus from some people who are 22 years old and they serve short time and they got out and then they go to college. Others spent a number of years in the military or got out of the military and then took a number of years before they came to campus. And so it ranges from 22 to even 40 year olds and getting some of those similar messages. And that's where the next quote really hit me, that this is something that a lot of veterans have shared that they learned, whether they went into the military because that's what they really wanted to do, or they just didn't know what to do with life and that was an option that came up for them, or whatever it may be of why they got there. But afterwards, this quote really rang true for me, and it's from Helen Keller. And she says, "Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved." So, yeah. So thank you very much, Leigh, for being here. And before we hear from you, we have your bio to share so the listeners can learn a little bit about you. I know it's only a brief little bio, but it does give them a little insight to who you are, what you bring to our campus, what you bring to our community, and to all the lives of people that you get to be part of. So Larry Langwell is the Program Coordinator of Veteran Education Transition Services, or VETS, He's also the staff advisor for the Chico State Student Veteran Organization. He's also the CEO of Vectors, which is Veteran Executive Corporation to organize rehabilitative services, and that's here in Butte County. Mm-hmm. If that's not enough, he's also a faculty member in the College of Business. And I don't think on your bio, we even have your official title then within Veteran Affairs. You want to tell us what that is?
I think you covered it. I'm the program coordinator.
Oh, okay. Then we got that. So that's for vets. Okay. Hey.
Yeah. So it's, well, the vets came around and I'm just going to jump right in.
Yeah, jump in.
Vets is the culmination of the Office of Veterans Affairs. And we also included about 15 years ago, we have a vet center, which is a student lounge area for veterans to share their unique culture. So we've actually been able to put both of those facilities into one under one roof. And so that's combined into vets.
Ah, fantastic. See, you go work remotely and you don't get to see people and things happen. You don't even know they're happening. And we were laughing before because where Teresa and I work at the Education Opportunity Program, and we're next door to the vet's office. Now, you know why my Swiss cheese remote hazy brain was confused? Because you and I were able to be part of VEST, which is the Veterans Education Support Team. And so the T and the S threw me off there. But yeah, so that's another thing Larry does. On top of everything, he organizes that program and oversees it to help bring people from around campus together and make sure we have a holistic, collaborative support team for veterans across campus. All right. So that's all the things Larry does and titles and areas, but now a little bit more about Larry. So as you know, we're talking about being first generation and veteran. So of course, Larry is a veteran of the United States Air Force. He served from 1980 to 1985 as aircraft armament systems specialist. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what that means when we get to the end of this here. And he was honorably discharged as a staff sergeant. His transition back to civilian life was very hard. It entailed relocating, seeking treatment, and changing careers with a wife and two children. After a few years of struggling, he and his wife decided education was their key to success. They both enrolled at Chico State in 1992 as first-generation students, but at that time, they had four children in their home at that point. He was fortunate enough to secure employment in the Office of Veterans Affairs as a student while completing his Bachelor's of Science in Construction Management in 1996. And he has been on staff as the full-time coordinator of the Veterans Services ever since he graduated. He also completed his master's in business administration in 2015. Okay, so maybe we should start with that. Can you share a little bit of what is aircraft armament systems specialist?
Well, the Air Force have these things that fly around. They're called aircraft, and a lot of those aircraft use armament systems to deliver payloads of very hateful material upon our enemies. So they're called bombs, and we use air-to-air missiles, rockets, all that stuff. So I was, a major part of my job was working on aircraft, on the systems themselves in aircraft, and also loading and unloading those materials on and off of aircraft.
Wow, okay. That does sound like a lot of heavy lifting and probably a lot of emotional processes too, of going through all that and talking to people after they've been on their mission and coming back to talk about the results and things like that, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. All right, Teresa, take us away with our official first question.
Yes, let's jump right in. All right, so our first question for you today, Larry, is can you share with us a little bit about your transition from the military to education as a student and also working within higher ed too?
Well, the biggest part with exiting the military is that you're not trained to move back into civilian life. Okay, the military takes you from wherever you are in civilian life. They train you for what they want. You get, you know, a lot of work ethic, a lot of things. But then about half of the jobs in the military you can't use when you get back out of the service. I mean, I couldn't get a job as an aircraft armament system specialist in civilian world. For years I fought with the VA because I had some disabilities. I had an accident while I was in the service. So I had some disabilities from that. I was fighting with VA to get proper claims and get proper compensation for my disabilities. So that was another, difficulty in my transition. And now this is before Al Gore invented the internet. So it was very, very difficult. So I had to go to the public library and use a typewriter to create documents and send them through the U.S. Postal Service, and then wait 3 months for a response. You know, so things that, you know, that we take for granted nowadays, you know, that happen in just seconds and minutes, they used to take months to happen back then in the 80s and 90s. So the transition of becoming a civilian was one part. I mean, my career was over after over 5 years. And so I had to find another career. I had a wife and two children that depended upon me for subsistence. So that was difficult. But the education part, initially I didn't have education benefits like most military personnel have today. So when I exited, there was the transition for that. But then after a few years, like in my bio, my wife and I just got sick of struggling. You know, I had part-time jobs. I had some jobs. I worked as a civilian at Bill Air Force Base for some contractors. And then we just said, you know what, this is crazy. We got so many mouths to feed. We got to come up with something stable. So we both were first generation, you know, to college. Matter of fact, I'm the first person in my mom's family to graduate high school. So it's, imagine that, having a parent wow. that had a sixth grade education. You know, she was awesome though.
I'm sure she was after meeting you, kind of seeing who you become, right?
Pretty crazy.
And it made me think of a couple of things, but we have our next question kind of set up, which will lead into one of the things that came to my mind was, because you've been working in Veteran Affairs for some time now, right? Since the early 90s. And you and I have been able to work on a couple of different projects here and there, but it's the non sort of project things, I think, that we've been connected with, where that brings up to look at what are some of the differences and similarities that you've seen over the years. And I know for me, what just kind of jumps out as far as it's a difference, but also a similarity at the same time, is mental health discussions for veterans, where until the last maybe decade or so, it didn't seem to be so much at the forefront of discussions. And a lot of people weren't talking about it who weren't involved with military or veterans. Now it's expanded and it's become more. And I think one of the stories that stands out for me that really helped me and my family, in a sense, was one of someone who lived in my neighborhood was a veteran, and he was going through mental health crises and had some breakdowns, and he had turned his whole front yard into just a big, you know, pile of everything from his garage, and was going through stuff. And Larry was, when I reached out to you, you said, hey, yeah, let's go over there. We can help clean up, because he was in no shape. And so you, me, and I think my son at the time was probably 9, somewhere in that 8 or 9. And it really helped him to learn about, oh, veterans, this is what one thing that veterans are experiencing at a young age. He was able to kind of be introduced to what's more going on in society around us, because he saw this happening at the guy's house over time. But if you want to share a little bit more on what are some of the things you see that are crucial, you know, that are discussion points to be talking about.
Well, I mean, it's the services have been, they've increased tremendously. I mean, exponentially. I mean, especially since, you know, when I first came to school here in 92, I mean, we still had Vietnam vets on campus, okay, that had already been struggling and trying to find their place for decades. I mean, Vietnam was over in supposedly 75, and in 92, we still have vet, you know, some of the, I mean, combat vets, you know, that were in the jungle and in rice paddies and had virtually no support at all, nothing. There was no, you know, there, I mean, people were spat. They spat on those people, you know. Yeah. I mean, it was, and those guys were victims to begin with. They were drafted. They didn't choose to sign up. They were drafted. And then they're spit on when they get back, you know. So thank goodness things have changed, you know. I mean, our society as a whole, I'm really proud of what we're doing nowadays. You know, of course, you know, war is hell. People are getting killed. I mean, it's, you know, and we're in, you know, I'm not going to get on a soapbox here, but we're doing a lot of things that we shouldn't be doing in a lot of places we don't need to be. And I think that's our history, unfortunately. But, and I know there's always somebody's going to justify, you know, well, American interests and, you know, all that. But I mean, it's when, you know, when you're taking the children from disadvantaged areas and putting them in harm's way just so some rich guy can get richer, I can't see it. I'm not for that. And I think that is a major role of what I do here is provide some guidance and referral to real professionals that can help with mental health and physical health, and assist with navigating, I mean, the big, you know, Chico State, or even helping the vets that come here to navigate the VA. That's a big monster. I mean, it's helping them with disability claims, helping them get mental health services that they need. So it's, you know, it's been a long road, and, you know, thank goodness, you know, I was put in a position where, you know, I could serve, you know, the greater good. And, you know, it's I've taken it to, you know, to heart, the my responsibilities here and my the trust that I've been given with these people's lives. But yeah, the differences and the similarities, unfortunately, that's, I think I described some of it. I mean, man's going to continue to hurt other men, you know, and the differences, the big thing is technology's changing. You know, with the new global war on terror, more people are surviving. They're not dying in combat. They're surviving, but the survival rate is high, but the internal injuries are severe. So, you know, we're not losing life and limb like we did, you know, 30, 40 years ago, but we're TBIs and post-traumatic stress is tremendous. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You and I have been affected directly. We have at least one friend in common who has taken their own life due to their experience in mental health and PTSD they were experiencing. And it's extreme around, you know, the areas. And I think one thing I was fascinated when I learned about years back, even first kind of talking with you about stuff is, and if you can share, so we have some specific numbers that help, is the number of people in the military who actually see active duty is extremely low, right? Because as outside of the military, it seems like, oh, that's what everyone in the military does. They all just go to war and fight. But can you share the numbers of what that looks like though nowadays?
You know, I don't have numbers at my fingertips, but you're right. I mean, people that are actually in combat, but I mean, you've also got people that support those people. Okay. Right. So you've got the support people, which are, you know, you've got admin, you know, which have to process paperwork for the people that are injured or have become, you know, deceased due to activity on the battlefield. You also have the people in, I mean, you don't really think about it, and people in transportation that have to clean out vehicles that are full of guts, right, and gore. I mean,
Yeah.
It's or the people in the medical field that, you know, that work on these, you know, people that have put themselves in, I mean, they haven't put themselves in harm's way, but have been in harm's way and are, you know, injured or, you know, are in severe, you know, severe conditions, you know. So it's so those, and then you're, I mean, then you've got, you know, not family members too, you know, you've got significant others, children. I mean, it's you know, I've known Vietnam vets since I was a kid. So just, you know, and everybody carries it different. There's different triggers, there's different responses to those triggers. You know, I'm really thankful that there is a lot more help these days to help, you know, get people, you know, help with their substance abuse. That's a big issue. Most vets come with, they don't want to seek help. They're like the last ones, but they're like, they're probably the first one that needs to get help. And I honestly, I'm not a clinician, so I'm not going to be able to, can't save them all, you know. Right. I point them in the right direction, you know.
No, I mean, even that is crucial work in itself, is being able to be that resource, to be able to, you know, guide them to the right person who can support them if that, you know, we don't happen to be those people who are equipped for that. Right. So I love how you shared a little bit about, you know, their personal struggles in the sense for students. Can you tell us a little bit more on your experience with working with students at Chico State? What do you see as something that's crucial that we should be talking about regarding their academic achievements? Maybe any obstacles that you see that are similarities between vet students that should be addressed or they need more support in?
I think the biggest obstacle to a veteran's success is themselves. I think that there's a lot of support networking. I mean, especially at Chico State. I mean, I can't speak for every school, but what Josh had mentioned, VEST, Veteran Education Support Team, you know, we have a very nice group of service providers on campus and we collaborate with agencies in the veteran community. So if there's, so mental health on campus usually is treated by appointment. Sometimes veterans can't wait for that appointment. They can receive immediate help, but then there's no long-term help on campus. Okay, so they're referred out to other folks, and they're just as financially strapped as other students. So it's the other, I think personal, that's the biggest thing, you know, veterans need to overcome some of their own issues from their service. And that's what I was pointing to earlier, is that transition from the military. You know, we all have some baggage, some have more than others, and some are gonna have issues until, you know, until they leave this planet. And right. No matter how much help you get, there's just some things don't end. And that's why, I mean, the suicide rate among veterans is, I think it's 20 a day now. It was like 22 or 23, you know, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know what it is with COVID. I heard it's getting worse again, unfortunately. Academic achievement, veterans achieve, they're high achievers. They're used to being successful. I mean, even if they had a bad experience in the military, they were successful in that career. Whether it lasted 3, 4, 10, 20 years, they were successful, and they, you're recognized for your successes in the military. And we've got all kinds of cool awards and, you know, fancy things to put on our uniform and stripes and, you know, extra fancy shoes, all that good stuff. But, it's, so when you come out, most vets are used to that. And they're, the one thing that veterans do not have is a big support network from home, or from, I mean, not, they get support from their family, okay? So their significant other, their children, their folks. But I'm saying they don't have the historical
social capital that we talk about, the support systems, right. So, networks.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I mean, first gen, right? It's like, yeah. There's not that history of people in your family to say, you know, when you go to school, ask for financial aid. It's okay. You know, it's okay if you're not in the classroom 10 minutes early. It's okay if you, walk out while the instructor's talking. Okay, those kind of things that veterans, they're taught not to do those things. It's like you don't get up and walk out while somebody's talking. You raise your hand, you don't just blurt out. Most vets are humble and kind and regardless of their training, and they'll give you the shirt off their back, but it's, they can't stand disrespect. They can't stand it. And their biggest need is trust. We all trust each other. So as soon as, I mean, somebody tells me they're a veteran, I give them my trust. I've given my trust to a few people that said they were veterans and they weren't, but you know, for the most part, it's a big deal. Even on campus, you'll see veterans they sticked with other veterans, you know, birds of a feather type of thing. So that's why we built the, where we created the Veterans Center, Veterans Student Center, for vets to have a place to congregate and share their camaraderie.
And I'm glad you mentioned the SVO and vets being humble, and because that's one thing I have definitely experienced and learned from vets, and that I've been able to work with a handful of our student veterans from different reasons. And one of them was actively coming to you in a number of years back. I started up the Veterans for Sobriety program, and I would just hang out in the SVO. And the first couple of times I came in, some of the veterans would look at me and they'd ask the people who I knew, the other students I knew, they'd kind of be talking and like, hey, can this guy be in here? I don't know. And then I had to step away and re-ask like, hey, can you make sure it's okay? And you had already said, oh yeah, it'll be good to go in and stuff. But once I got in the place, some of them had that like, hey, this is our space. You know, as veterans, we need to have a place where we can come together and have our discussions and be away and talk about issues that other people don't know about and can't understand if you're not a veteran. But then after a couple of visits, the veterans who weren't taking part in our discussions, they would say, hey, how's it going, Josh? How you doing? They talked to me about what they were doing with school, and they'd ask questions about advising. And so the trust was built, though, and once they see that. And I'd say most veterans I work with on campus who are students, they are some of the calmest students I work with because of their experiences. They've shared like, yeah, well, this is really nothing compared to some of the situations I've been in and some of the stress and stuff that goes with being in the military at times, that they're very calming and they're relaxing and they're very understanding. And because they've worked with such a diverse group of people in the military that they've been, you know, either stationed with or on a base with or have done training with. So that's been really fun for me to learn and get a better insight to veterans. It's because we mentioned the support systems and these things, but it's one of those hidden identities, right? You don't just see someone and know they're a veteran. So that adds to some of the navigation that they're trying to do through campus, having that in their mind. And some veterans have said to me, oh, it feels like people are always judging me because they know I'm a veteran, but I know they don't know I'm a veteran because they don't know that, but it's in their mind. That's part of that, the mental processing that they're experiencing, mm-hmm. You know, from trying to transition into education. And if you could share a little bit more, you mentioned SVO, that's the Student Veterans Organization, and VEST. Could you talk about some of the things that the SVO is doing, maybe especially during this time of remoteness, and what are some plans moving forward? Because I know that's an extremely important part of student veteran experience on our campus.
Yes, it is. It is very important. And SVO is they sit at the table of VEST. You know, that's our customer, so we want them to be at the table with us so they can share their needs and wants and you know, some difficulties or obstacles that we can effectively solve. But SVO at Chico State was formed by Vietnam veterans in 1967. It is over 50 years old. And we've actually had some of the alumni from back then that are still located in the area that have come back and shared their experiences with the group, show up at meetings, and they'll buy dinners, and you know, they share, you know, the big thing is about sharing experience. Okay. It's like, even, you know, even from different eras, if they're in the same branch, it's all the similarities, and all of us that were in, you know, my era, that even in different branches, I mean, we have these, you know, these similar experiences, you know, with people, with the military and the difficulties and the fun. It's always good. It's good for us to get together. It's therapeutic. And, you know, Josh, I got to say thank you for what you did for meeting with the vets. And that was really therapeutic. It was really helpful, you know, for them. And it was good for me to witness as well. And, you know, it helped me to get through some of my communication issues with people, honestly.
Wow, thanks. That's great to hear. Because I know for me, it's a big process. And I don't know if I think I might have shared on this program or our episode once before, but for me, that's a personal choice that I made when I was 23 years old. So now today is May 5th. So it's been 25 years, 11 months and 5 days that I've been living sober and in recovery. But that's part of my program, is to give back, and whether people are willing or not. And so it was really great, because after the program ended, unfortunately, after about 3 years, I would see some of the student veterans who on campus who didn't really take part in our conversations, but they were in the room and they knew why I was there. Right. And they would approach me when they saw me by myself. They'd come up and say, "Hey, I had some questions about alcoholism or addiction or substance use and stuff." So mm-hmm. it just that ripple. And so it was great. So thank you for sharing that, because
it's really important, because that plagues our culture. I mean, the veteran culture, alcoholism and drug abuse. It's just, you know, I see so many of my brothers and sisters in the street, and, you know, that's a major part of, I'm just going to finish on SVO real quick. I mean, SVO is also one of the the 20 founding chapters of Student Veterans of America back in 2008. And now that organization is over 1,500 chapters globally. So there's actually chapters outside the United States, which is pretty cool. But going back to the substance abuse, and you know, my heart is always goes out to helping, always helps other vets. I always gonna do, you know, my fair share, because I've had my struggles with substances, and I mean, it wasn't enough to shove me all the way into the gutter, but you know, but for the grace of God, go I. So it's pretty difficult. But I also work with a nonprofit in Chico as I'm the CEO of Vectors. Vectors, actually, I've been on the board for 12 years. I've been the CEO for 10. Nonprofit organization. We have a 15-bed clean and sober house here in Chico. It's a transitional facility. So we basically take in the neediest homeless veterans on the streets of Chico and the surrounding area, and we get them the help that they need, whether it's financial or, you know, get them claims, get them services at the VA or through the county veteran service office. Some go back to school. Some we help get employment secured. And we push them within 24 months. We get them into independent living situations. So that's very rewarding as well. So, you know, I think we graduate probably about 85 to 90% successfully. I mean, some still slide back and go back into their bad behavior, but which disqualifies them to participate in the program, but we refer them to services nonetheless. And, you know, it's very rewarding to help people that really, really deserve it.
That's awesome. That's amazing. That's really good. Well, thank you first and foremost for all the work that you're doing for our, not only just our veteran students specifically, but I'm sure all the students who come to you or seek your assistance, or, you know, if you're the first face that they meet, you're an amazing support and guidance for them as well. So thanks for the work you have done and are continuing to do. I have a question regarding, or when hopefully you can tell us a little bit about, so within the population of veteran students within Chico State, would you say you've seen an increase in those who identify as women?
I think the numbers of overall percentage have mm-hmm. have been maintained. I mean, women veterans they're a significant force in mm-hmm. our group. Matter of fact, half of the SVO leadership this last year has been women. So it's, but like Josh was saying, it's like, it's mm-hmm. the most diverse population ever. I mean, you wouldn't be able to spot a veteran when they walk in the room. I mean, right. All colors, all sizes, you know, all genders, everybody, you know, it's all, everybody's included. So the experience and the culture is what we love to share. And that's a major part of it, is that, you know, we're accepting of everybody.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
And as before we wrap up, Josh and I wanted to give you the opportunity to see if there's anything that we might have missed or anything you wanted to share regarding veteran students that you would like us to cover, or you would want to just share with us about.
Well, I'd like to go back to SVO and mm-hmm. what, I mean, some of the activities that, you know, without SVO, it to engage the student vet population, my job would be much harder. So they take on a valuable role, and they take leadership and they take responsibility of their own group. So even veterans that don't have the GI Bill benefits or education benefits when they come here, they're welcome as well to participate in as part of the student vet organization. They participate in the events. SVO, our veterans are recognized as a unique culture by the Diversity and Inclusion Office. So we are sponsored for our vet grad is a multicultural event. And also our fall welcome reception that we have every year. So it's, you know, thank you to Trey Robinson and Donna for, you know, their assistance in helping us get, you know, through these years. We also celebrate our veterans by, we give them regalia at graduation. That's just heavy on my mind right now because we're wrapping this up. But we have veteran orientation. It's part of summer orientation. Veterans Day is a really big deal around here. Anybody that is listening, Memorial Day is not the same as Veterans Day, and it's not the same. Okay, Memorial Day we honor those that have given their life, and Veterans Day we honor all veterans. There's also Armed Forces Day that's coming up soon. I believe it's May 15th. So those that are still in active service, we celebrate them as well.
Yeah. This episode has been great for having you here, hearing these things. And it's reminded me of how many connections I've had over the years with veterans. And it made me laugh a minute ago when you said the Veterans Day celebration on campus, because I remember one year we were getting ready for it. We were preparing with the vest committee, getting things organized. And then the day of it, you said, hey, we need someone to be a flag bearer during the ceremony. You're going to walk with this flag and you're going to stand up in front of all the veterans. And I said, okay, sure. And there was veterans there who were in their 80s.
Yeah.
All the way to, you know, veterans who had just gotten out of the military in the last year and were students on campus. And I just remember thinking, Oh my gosh. This is, I gotta not trip. I gotta get the flag up to the front of the room and stand there and not fall. I mean, just, and at the end of it though, some of the older veterans came up and said, hey, thank you for being here. Thanks for being a part of this and supporting veterans. I don't know if you're a veteran or not. And it was just, it was such a nice welcoming experience, but I also was like, you know, nervous as heck. Like I can get up and talk in front of groups of 200, 300, whatever, and do presentations, but I was up there holding the flag. Don't shake the flag. Don't move too much. But it was a great, you know, those are great events that you have on campus for everyone to be a part of.
I do. I appreciate you. Appreciate you being a part of it. That's, you know, many hands make light work.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing that. All right. So unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our episode, but this is for some the best part. We are able to all share some resources or recommendations for our listeners out there. So we'll go ahead and start with you, Larry. What recommendations or resources do you have for our listeners to check out?
Well, I don't have material in hand, but I do recommend that any veteran that needs help, I suggest that you look into that immediately. There's lots of help available. Don't think you're the only one that needs help. There's plenty of brothers and sisters that are available that are having the same problems you're having, and family members, friends of veterans, please help those people get the assistance that they need. There's the VA. Every county in California has assistance available. There's VA clinics, mental health. I mean, even the county mental health will be able to assist. Please get these people help, okay? We're losing 20 veterans a day to suicide. And I mean, and that's just the ones that we know for sure. I mean, it's, we don't know. I mean, some of them probably aren't even being counted. The other service that I want to talk about a little more is Vectors. Vectors is in Chico. It's on Rio Lindo Avenue. It is, just go by there. It's at 171 Rio Lindo. Call it. It's 343-3040 is the office number. Talk to our executive director. He's there almost full time every week. Go by on Sunday, pick up a box of food. We have food donations from several sources that we redistribute on Sunday mornings. We'd love to have you come by, and we really appreciate any assistance that you can give us as well. Defectors is a nonprofit. We survive off of the donations from the community and the fees that our residents are required to pay to participate in their programs.
Awesome. Thank you. And I know from one vet to another for our listeners, that's going to make a huge impact and go a long way. So I appreciate it. All right, Josh, what do you have for us today?
I have a couple. First, a question, just to clarify, for Vectors, you don't have to be a veteran. You could go down there and volunteer to do some support and be involved also, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Our board of directors is all veterans, and all of our residents, you have to be a veteran to be a resident, but we accept help from all denominations.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. So I have two here. And the first one is a short documentary on post-traumatic stress disorder. It's called War Dogs. It's about 15 minutes. It's available on YouTube. You can watch it there. But then also to show some other side and a part of the comedy, I guess, right? Comedy and laughter and good feelings that can be brought out from military as well is a U.S. Navy veteran. His name's Maurice Johnson. He does stand-up comedy. And so you can find some of his material on YouTube as well. The one that I ran across that I really enjoyed was called Comedy Bootcamp Graduation Show. So he has a stand-up for that. So thank you so much for being here, Larry. This was a wonderful episode.
Teresa? Yeah, thank you for joining us, Larry. Have a good rest of your evening.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Thanks. Bye. Bye.